All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test.
Welcome to episode 49 of American Vindicta. Today's special episode will have a theatrical element. Some of what you hear will be historical facts, and some of it will be fictional. Please do not be alarmed.
Well, good evening. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. You are listening to American Vindicta, and we're going to get back on the trail of the Nazis today. Today's topic are going to be the rat lines. How did the Nazis escape Germany during World War II? And what did the Vatican know about Nazi escape routes? Now, this is an article that is wrote from DW.com by Oliver Piper. And it's a very well-documented article. And as usual, I would ask you to do your research and educate yourself on these types of subjects. So, as we get into this, after World War II, thousands of Nazis fled to South America along these so-called rat lines, often with the help of Catholic clergy. The Vatican is now opening its archives from the time. Will it be a moment of truth? In 1948, just 3 years after the end of World War II, a leading Nazi war criminal managed to escape from a prison in Linz, Austria. A Franz Stangl, a former SS Hauptsturmführer and commander of the Sobibor and Treblinka extermination camps, was responsible for the deaths of almost 1 million Jews. Via Graz, Murano, and Florence, he made his way to Rome, and most importantly for him, to the Vatican. In Rome, Bishop Alois Hudel, a fellow Austrian, greeted him with the words, quoted, "You must be Franz Stangl. I have been expecting you." He then handed Stangl forged documents that allowed the Nazi war criminal to travel to Syria, where his family eventually joined him. In 1951, the Stangl family immigrated to Brazil. The man who perfected mass murder in the concentration camps spent years assembling cars at a Volkswagen plant near Sao Paulo. Franz Stangl is one of thousands of Nazis and collaborators who, with the help of the Catholic Church, escaped Europe via routes called rat lines, some of which ran from Innsbruck over the Alps to Murano or Bolzano in South Tyrol, then to Rome, and from there to the Italian port of Genoa. Stangl chose a detour via Syria, but the majority of Nazis boarded ships headed directly to South America, mainly to Argentina. The country Holocaust survivor and writer Simon Wiesenthal named the Nazis, quote, Cape of Last Hope. Argentina, as you may not know, was the last country to declare war on Nazi Germany. Now, was this a spontaneous cooperation? The rat lines were not only a thoroughly structured system, but it consisted of many individual components, said Daniel Stahl, a historian at the Department of Modern and Contemporary History at Friedrich Schiller University. It was more of a spontaneous cooperation of different institutions that gradually established itself after World War II. Some 90% of Nazi perpetrators who escaped Europe are thought to have fled across the Alps to Italy. That was the first loophole. Their first stop was in South Tyrol region of northern Italy. The monastery of the Teutonic Order in Moreno, the Capuchin monastery near Bressanone of the Franciscan monastery near Balzano. The war criminals would often hide out in monasteries. Now, these rat lines are also known as the monastery route. And for years, collecting money to continue their escape overseas. Sometimes, the Nazis were accommodated right next to their former victims, Jews, headed to Israel. Rome was the next stop. The Nazis, who had a letter from the Catholic Church confirming their identity, were handed a passport by the International Committee of the Red Cross, which issued about 120,000 papers until 1951, a mere formality. The story goes that even before the end of the war, there was clearly a thought-out and elaborate plan for Nazi escapees, said Stahl. That is wrong. Even the likes of Franz Stangl first wandered around Rome without knowing what to do next. Information was passed on of word of mouth. A name that regularly crops up is Alois Hüttel. Now, the Austrian bishop had clearly positioned himself as a Nazi sympathizer during Nazi rule. And later, he said many of those persecuted were completely blameless and that he snatched them from their tormentors with false identity papers. Now, there was also a popular clandestine route. And Stahl is quoted saying it would have been much more difficult for Franz Stangl and the others to flee if the Catholic Church had not protected many Nazis. The list of infamous Nazis who used the rat lines is very long. And we're going to get into that right after this break.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
And welcome back to American Vindicta. We're talking about the infamous Nazis who used the rat lines to escape Germany and into South America and other countries. First off on our list is Adolf Eichmann. Using the name Ricardo Clement, the man who organized the Holocaust fled from Balzano to Argentina in 1950. His family later joined him. Grateful for the Vatican's help in his escape, Eichmann converted to Catholicism. He worked as an electrician at the Daimler-Benz truck factory. In 1960, he was kidnapped by Mossad, Israel's secret service, and brought to trial in Israel. He was executed in the night from May 31st to June 1st, 1962. Next on our list, the Angel of Death, Joseph Mengele. The sadistic Auschwitz concentration camp doctor fled to South Tyrol in 1949. where supporters provided him with a new passport. His new name was Helmut Gregor. He was now 38 years old and a Catholic and a mechanic born in the South Tyrolean village of Trammen. The detail of his birth in South Tyrol would prove the most important condition for leaving the country. As a South Tyrolean citizen, he was considered an ethnic German as well as stateless, and therefore entitled to a Red Cross passport. Now, Mengele lived in Argentina and Paraguay and in Brazil, where he suffered a stroke while swimming and drowned on February 7, 1979. And may his soul burn in hell forever. Next on our list is Klaus Barbie, known as the Butcher of Lyon. The French city's former Gestapo chief set off for the South America trip as Klaus Altman of Romania. With the help of the CIA, Barbie obtained a visa for Bolivia in 1951 and continued to receive orders from the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Service and the German Federal Intelligence Service. His whereabouts became known to the public in 1970. Bolivia extradited him to France in 1983. He received a life sentence and died of cancer in prison on September 25, 1991. Next on our list is Erich Priebeck. The SS captain was partially responsible for the massacre of 335 civilians in a reprisal killing in the Adriatine Caves near Rome in 1944. He fled from Latvia to Barlock in Argentina under the pseudonym Otto Pop. Argentinian authorities extradited him to Rome in 1995. 3 years later, he was sentenced to life in prison and died under house arrest on October 11th, 2013. Then we have Walther Rauch. Rauch invented mobile gas chambers in which exhaust fumes were fed directly into the back of redesigned vans. According to his arrest warrant, he was responsible for at least 97,000 murders. In 1949, he fled along the rat line together with his wife and two children to the Ecuadorian city Quito, then continued on to Chile. West Germany requested his extradition in 1963, but it was rejected as the crimes Rauch was accused of had expired under Chile's statute of limitations. Rauch became a wealthy food processor and died of a heart attack on May 14th, 1984. Now, Adolf Eichmann was hardly alone among Nazis in finding refuge in South America after the fall of the Third Reich. According to a 2012 article in the Daily Mail, German prosecutors who examined secret files from Brazil and Chile discovered that as many as 9,000 Nazi officers and collaborators from other countries escaped from Europe to find sanctuary in South American countries. Brazil took in between 1,500 and 2,000 Nazi war criminals, while between 500 and 1,000 settled in Chile. However, by far the largest number, as many as 5,000, relocated to Argentina. Due to the hundreds of thousands of German immigrants who lived in the country, Argentina maintained close ties with Germany and remained neutral for much of World War II. In the years after the end of the war, Argentine President Juan Perón secretly ordered diplomats and intelligence officers to establish escape routes, or so-called rat lines, through ports in Spain and Italy to smuggle thousands of former SS officers and Nazi Party members out of Europe. As with numerous other fascist-leaning South American leaders, Perón had been drawn to the ideologies of Benito Mussolini and Adolf Hitler while serving as a military attaché in Italy during the early years of World War II. The Argentine president also sought to recruit those Nazis with particular military and technical expertise that he believed could help his country, much like the United States and the Soviet Union, both poached scientists from the Third Reich to assist them in the Cold War. According to Uki Gono, author of The Real Odessa, Smuggling the Nazis to Perón's Argentina, the Perón government in 1946 sent word through Argentine Cardinal Antonio Cajino to a French counterpart that the South American country would be willing to receive Nazi collaborators from France who faced potential war crimes prosecution. That spring, French war criminals carrying passports issued by the International Red Cross, stamped with Argentine tourist visas, began to cross the Atlantic Ocean. In their attempts to aid Catholic refugees amid the post-war rise of the communist regimes across Europe, numerous Vatican officials unwittingly aided in the escape of Nazi war criminals, but some clerics, such as Bishop Alois Hudel, did so with full knowledge of their actions. According to Goni, Hudel, an Austrian-born admirer of Hitler who ministered to prisoners of war in Rome, admitted to abetting Nazi war criminals by providing them with false identity documents issued by the Vatican that were then used to obtain passports from the International Red Cross. Hudel also aided the Franciscan monk in Genoa, Italy, who supplied Adolf Eichmann with an Argentine visa and signed an application for his falsified Red Cross passport, which allowed him to board a steamship to Buenos Aires in 1950 under the assumed identity of Ricardo Clement. The German legal team that examined South American files in 2012 told the Daily Mail that most of the Nazis who entered the continent did so using forged Red Cross passports, including 800 SS members to Argentina alone. Members of the Nazis who escaped to South America were never brought to justice. SS Colonel Walter Rauf, who created mobile gas chambers that killed at least 100,000 people, died in Chile in 1984. Edward Rauschman, the butcher of Riga, died in Paraguay in 1977. Gustav Wagner, an SS officer known as the Beast, died in Brazil in 1980 after the country's Supreme Federal Court refused to extradite him to Germany because of inaccuracies in the paperwork. Perhaps the most notorious of the fugitives was still Dr. Joseph Mengele, the Angel of Death, who conducted a macabre of experiments at the Auschwitz camps and concentration camps and extermination camps. Okay, sorry about that. So, I lost my place. Okay, back to Joseph Mengele. Mengele fled to Argentina in 1949 before moving to Paraguay in 1959 and Brazil a year later. Buried under an assumed name after drowning off the Brazilian coast in 1979, Mengele had his identity confirmed only after forensic testing of his remains in 1985. Now, in some cases, the United States was complicit in the exodus of Nazi war criminals and to South America. And following the war, the U.S. Counterintelligence Corps recruited Klaus Barbie, the Gestapo chief in Lyon, or Lyon, France, who played a role in the deaths of thousands of French Jews and members of the French Resistance, and as an agent to assist with an anti-communist efforts. He was smuggled to Bolivia, where he continued his spy work and instructed the military regime on how to torture and interrogate political opponents. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sorry about the interruption. We are, we're going to go to a short break. There seems to be some sort of a emergency going on right outside of my house. And we'll be right back after this quick message.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position. Really, for the first time in our history, we're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
This is the emergency broadcast system. This is not a test. Repeat, this is not a test. Citizens are advised to take the following steps. Stay alert to news media events or local emergency alert notifications. Avoid contact with the infected. If evacuation is impossible, move indoors and initiate in-place sheltering. Use a gas mask, or if none are available, cover your mouth and nose with a clean cloth that has been soaked with a solution of 1 cup water and 1 tablespoon of baking soda. Also, cover bare skin and make sure that cuts and abrasions are covered. If exposed, remove clothes and seal in a plastic bag. Immediately wash off using copious amounts of warm, soapy water or a diluted 10-to-1 bleach solution. Since biological agents are being used to combat the outbreak, be sure to shut the windows and air intake vents to your shelter. If possible, stay upwind from the source of biological agents. Seek medical attention as quickly as possible after coming into contact with the infected or a biological agent. If evacuated, do not return home until local authorities say it is safe. Upon arriving home, open up all the windows and doors to provide natural ventilation. Do not attempt to try mechanical ventilation, such as electric fans, as an explosive threat may be present. Find out from local authorities how to clean up your land and property. Discard food and water supplies that were impacted by the hazardous material contamination. This is the emergency broadcast system.
My fellow countrymen, I am interrupting today's program with an important message. Now, it has taken me a little bit of time to figure out how to get on this network, but I have a message for all of you to hear. This is Wrecker Actual.
072.
We are at war. For now, this war has not manifested itself into a physical war. However, that war is coming to the world. Currently, a cabal of elitist businessmen and women, to include corrupt politicians on both sides of the aisle, high-ranking members of the intelligence communities, high-ranking officials in both the military and law enforcement, have conspired against we, the people of the United States of America. This statement is not to be used as some blanket warrant of criminal behavior to all members of these agencies and parties. There are still innocents amongst them. Our enemy is an organized group of vandals. They have tactically placed themselves in high stations of power, and many are well known. What we face now is a multi-generational scheme comprised of globalists seeking world domination and their varied affiliates such as the communist and the socialist, Antifa and satanic cults and religious cults around the world. The goal of this cabal is inherently against humanity and all forms of freedom. For generations, a scheme has been underway to both erode the rights and the will of we the people. Also, to lower the population of the world by any means necessary into a more controllable herd of cattle. My fellow patriots, as you're listening to me tonight, we have been led astray from what our founding fathers installed in the form of a republic that was for and by the people. In the words of one of the framers of the Constitution, Benjamin Franklin, he tells us that any society that would give up a little liberty to gain a little security will deserve neither and lose both. So even now, our leaders have denounced our God and remove Jesus from the cornerstone of our courts, and soon the rest of our empire. We are crumbling under the rule of autocrats and authoritarians who seek to rule over you. This message is not original in its origins, for it has been the message of all men and women who have sought freedom from tyranny. History is our proving ground for all rebellions, both successful and unsuccessful. I call upon the peaceful act of rebellion. I reserve my opinions on the latter of physical conflict, because that act will loose itself upon all of us, and we need not hastily walk into a trap of our own destruction. There is a trap laid before you, like Satan and the snare. A lure of the spirit of rebellion is dangled in front of you now. However, the snarer knows why he cast this bait upon us. I ask you all now, patriots, to slow down and think. Review the evidence before you. Our rebellion, our resistance, it is righteous and just. This is why the elite seek to stop our movement of freedom by settling in vipers amongst us. We should not look to overthrow a government that has denounced Jesus and turned its back on God. Because of that alone, this government will fall. You turned your back on the Lord, and the Lord will remove His hand of protection upon you. As the Holy Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 13, "And if this house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house, or truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town." Children of God, we need not be violent towards a government that God himself will strike down at his time, not ours. Be patient. Seek the Lord's counsel and take refuge. And take care of your homes and families first. Always be vigilant forever. We cannot lie in wait as the trains come to take us to the concentration camps. In Matthew 10:34, Jesus declares, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemy will be those of his own household. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." May we let the words of the Holy One, our Lord Jesus Christ, guide us through that narrow footpath to heaven and away from the highway that leads to hell. The parents are now standing up and they're challenging these teachers' unions that seek to destroy the minds of our children with racist ideologies, with sexual perversions that are not still even accepted amongst adults. Radical indoctrination tactics are used to turn the future of our nation into communist foot soldiers or the next Hitler Youth, and the covering up of history. Our children are taught from kindergarten to college that America is evil and it's racist, but this is a fallacy. America is plagued with evil and racist people, many of whom are the industry leaders of societal progress and ethics. America is not evil, but it is succumbing to those who corrupt our laws and twist the regulations to aid in their further conquest of a free society. Currently, the majority of America has awakened from this spell of despotism, from this twilight of capitulation, and they are fighting back. The resistance against tyranny is alive and it's spreading. Patriots are making their presence known at the freedom rallies around the world. They shout for freedom from medical tyranny. For we, people who seek freedom from tyrannical rule, are now shouting at our town squares, our schools, upon the courthouse steps, along the highways and interstates, and on the lawns of our nation's capitals, because we have seen through this evil and we have said enough is enough. Patriots, our country is in the grasp of the greatest evil to mankind. We know of the satanic worship in the media, in Hollywood, throughout the music industry, now in the military-industrial complex, and deeply rooted now in many of our favorite politicians. How can we say we trust these leaders when they sacrifice the strange gods of demonic origin and their secret societies plot against Americans? How can a group of politicians and their deranged followers now save face when they openly fund and cherish ancient occult rituals of sacrificing children to Baal? We know of occultism amongst the groves in California, where major world leaders, leaders of industry, high-ranking military officials whom frequent. Do not be fooled, ladies and gentlemen. We are in a spiritual war for the survival of this nation and for the souls of its citizens. Let it be known to all of our enemies, both foreign and domestic, that we Americans seek peace, but we are forever prepared for war. We are prepared to endure another civil war. We are prepared for America to step back into the arena of the world wars against the evils of communism. I say woe unto all those would-be tyrants that seek capitulation from a free and angered people. Know this, we are the descendants of men and women who would not be ruled easily. Let us bring back the spirit of dangerous freedom and rugged individualism. Let the spirit of brotherly love gather us together now to turn this flock of sheep into the roaring lions that roam the dangerous lands of America's frontiers. May our resistance bring back justice and goodwill to all men. It is we, the people, who should be setting the example for our abomination of a government to follow. May God forever guide us to victory against the evils that plot to destroy us. May the Lord give us the strength to endure during these trying times. May we never lose sight of you, Jesus. To my fellow Christians out there, listening now amongst your fires, hiding in the caves, scattered throughout the world, know this. Remember to whom you serve. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven first, and may you remain worthy of that great title as we all face these terrible tribulations. Thank you for listening. We now bring you back to your regularly scheduled program. End of transmission.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test.
Okay, well, welcome back to America Vindicta. That was kind of strange. I stepped outside because I was hearing, you know, sirens going by, and yeah, I don't know what's going on. I hope it has nothing to do with the fear of the new monkeypox or whatever the hell is going on in Pennsylvania. A few people haven't heard about that. You know, the monkeys that got loose and the... The Pennsylvania State Police had to go and euthanize them. Yeah, thanks, Fauci. So hopefully that doesn't start the zombie virus. Anyways, back to Nazis. Just kind of ruined everything, but we'll try and get back on track. Real quick, we'll talk about the 10 most wanted Nazi war criminals. Now, despite ongoing efforts to bring them to justice, many former Nazis have avoided prosecution for their role in the Holocaust as well as other war crime atrocities. Now, starting off, number one, John Demjanjuk. For all you people who laugh at me for trying to pronounce these Eastern European names and the German names and German pronunciations, I would like to see the Germans try and pronounce some stuff back here in Southeast Texas, where I'm from. Anyways, I shall continue to butcher this language for as long as it entertains you. Now, John, born in Ukraine, immigrated to the United States after World War II, and he became a naturalized U.S. citizen in the 1950s. He was working for many years on a Ford automotive plant in Ohio, and in 2011, after a lengthy court proceedings in the United States and Israel and Germany, a German court convicted him of being an accessory to more than 28,000 counts of murder while serving as a guard at the Sobibor concentration camp in Poland in 1943. Though John was released pending appeal and died in a German nursing home in 2012, the landmark ruling set an important precedent to charge guards who worked at Nazi death camps as accessories to the murders that occurred, even when, as in John's case, there was no evidence linking the defendant to a specific crime. Number two, Laszlo Zatary. As a Hungarian police officer in the city of Kosice, now Slovakia, but then occupied by Hungary, in 1944, Zatary allegedly organized the deportation of more than 15,000 Jews to Auschwitz. A Czechoslovak court convicted Zatary in absentia and sentenced him to death in 1948. He fled to Canada, where he worked as an art dealer until 1997. After Canadian authorities discovered he had lied on a passport application and revoked his citizenship, Zatary disappeared for another decade until he was finally arrested in Budapest in 2012. Named by the Simon Wiesenthal Center, a Jewish human rights organization known for its determined hunting of former Nazis, this guy was labeled as its most wanted suspect in 2011. The 98-year-old Zatary died while awaiting trial under house arrest in 2013. Number three on our list, Hans Lipschitz. Following the precedent set by John in 2011's conviction, German authorities launched a renewed campaign to bring in some 50 suspected former guards at Auschwitz-Birkenau, where some 1.5 million people were murdered between 1941 and 1945. The first to face charges in 2013 was 93-year-old Hans Lipschitz, who lived in Chicago for nearly three decades after World War II before being deported for lying about his Nazi past. Prosecutors allege that Lipschitz worked as a guard at Auschwitz from 1941 to 1943, though he maintained he was only a cook. In February 2014, a German court ruled Lipschitz, who suffers from dementia, was mentally unfit to stand trial. Number four, Vladimir Katryuk. A platoon commander in a Ukrainian battalion of the SS, the elite Nazi stormtroopers from 1942 to 44, Kutrick, had immigrated to Canada by the 1950s. In 1999, a Canadian court found that he had lied about his past to enter the country, but the Canadian government later decided not to strip him of his citizenship. After a new study surfaced alleging that Kutrick was an active participant in a massacre of more than 150 people, mostly women and children, in the village of Katyn in Belarusia, now Belarus, in 1943, the Simon Wiesenthal Center had placed him in second place on their annual list of the most wanted former Nazis. In 2015, even as Russian authorities attempted to extradite Kutrick to try him for his alleged war crimes, the 93-year-old beekeeper at that time died in Quebec after a long illness. Number five, Oscar Gronig. After former SS junior squad leader Oscar Gronig was released from a British prison following World War II, he left the military and began a normal middle-class life working at a glassmaking factory in Lower Saxony, Germany. Only decades later, after Gronig heard stories about people denying the Holocaust had ever happened, did he decide to speak out about his service as a guard at Auschwitz. In a 2005 BBC documentary, he described the gas chambers and the selection process, though he said he did not take part directly in the killings. In July 2015, a court in northern Germany convicted Gronig, dubbed the Boo Keeper of Auschwitz, for his alleged responsibility of keeping track, or a bookkeeper, excuse me, of Auschwitz, for his alleged responsibility of keeping track of the money and possessions taken from the prisoners upon their arrival. With 300,000 counts of accessory to murder and sentenced the 94-year-old to 4 years in prison. Number 6, Gerhard Sommer. Over the ever-shrinking number of former Nazis still alive to be prosecuted, Gerhard Sommer currently heads the Simon Wiesenthal Center list of the most wanted in 1944. Sommer was a soldier in the 16th SS Panzer Division when he allegedly helped massacre 560 civilians, including 119 children, in the Tuscan town of Sant' Anna di Stazzema. Though an Italian court convicted 10 former SS officers, including Sommer, in absentia in 2005, Germany never extradited any of them. And in 2012, German prosecutors dropped Sommer's case for lack of evidence. After the case was reopened in 2014, specialists found that the 93-year-old Sommer, who lives in a nursing home north of Hamburg, was suffering from severe dementia and was unfit for trial. Number 7 on the list, Alfred Stark. A former corporal of the Geberjäger Division, the 92-year-old Stark stands accused of ordering the execution of 117 Italian prisoners of war on the Italian island that was occupied during that time of Kefalonia, Greece in 1943. Germany and Italy broke their alliance in September of that year, and in the aftermath of the break, the Germans killed nearly 9,500 officers of the Acqui Division, including the POWs of Kefalonia. In 2012, a military court in Rome sentenced Stark in absentia to life in prison, but Germany has also refused to extradite him to face justice. Stark currently occupies the second position on the Simon Wiesenthal's Center's Most Wanted list. Number 8, Johann Robert Riss. After resistance fighters shot two German soldiers, Nazi troops reportedly retaliated by massacring some 184 civilians, including 27 children and 63 women, in the Tuscan town of Padule di Focaccio in 1944. I'm pretty sure I just said that wrong. Moving on. A year later, British Sergeant Charles Edmondson took statements about the massacre from survivors in the hopes of bringing those responsible to justice. Now, based on the accounts he collected, a military court in Rome sentenced Riss and two other former Nazis to life in prison, absentia, in 2011 for their roles in the killings. Now, the court also requested that the German government pay 14 million euros in compensation to the remaining relatives of the victims. Germany declined and refused to extradite the three men. Riss, who is now 92, lives in a village south of Munich. He's on the third for the center's current most wanted list, and he denies the charges against him. Number 9 on the list. I'm going to screw this name up, but here we go. Algamonitis Dalid. God, I don't know how the heck you pronounce that. As an officer in the Lithuanian security force, or sponsored by the Nazis, Dalid, I cannot pronounce this guy's name. Anyways, allegedly arrested 12 Jews who were attempting to escape Vilna, a Jewish ghetto in the city of Vilnius, in the early 1940s. He is believed to have had handed them over to the Nazis, who presumably executed them. This gentleman immigrated to the United States after the war and was working as a real estate agent in Florida by the 1990s. Who knows, all you Floridians out there, maybe he sold you your house and you didn't even know it. When the U.S. government discovered his Nazi pass and stripped him of his citizenship, hopefully his realtor's license as well. After being deported, he and his wife settled in the small town of Kirchberg in western Germany, though a Vilnius court convicted him of war crimes. The Lithuanian government made only half-hearted attempts to bring him home to stand trial. And in 2008, a high court in Lithuania ruled this guy's health was too poor for him to serve time in prison. And meanwhile, he sits at number 4 on the most wanted list. Number 10, Adolf Hitler. Okay, so maybe Hitler doesn't exactly belong in the same category with these others most wanted Nazis, but there are still some people who believe the Nazi leader did not, in fact, commit suicide in a Berlin bunker in April 1945. Instead, as the leading theory goes, he escaped to South America and lived out the rest of his life unpunished for his unfathomable war crimes. Though scholars agree that Hitler and his wife Eva Braun carried out a suicide pact in that bunker, rumors of Hitler's survival surfaced as early as 1945, largely because officials never publicly identified the couple's remains. In early 2014, the FBI declassified more than 700 pages of tips and notes on investigations into whether Hitler, like other leading Nazis, escaped to South America. The revelation sparked new investigations into the enduring conspiracy theory of Hitler's escape, including expeditions into the secret network of tunnels Hitler had built under Berlin and the darkest reaches of the Argentinian jungle. All right, so there you have it. We still have a unknown of whether Hitler's alive or not. To me, I think it's incredible that we don't talk about all the Nazis who were on Operation Paperclip, who committed mass atrocities against Jewish people and peoples around Europe. But I guess, you know, when it benefits your government, you can look the other way when it comes to mass murderers. You know, it just makes you kind of think. If John Wayne Gacy was the smartest brain surgeon in the world, would the United States have forgiven him for his crimes and put him back to work? It's incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very terribly sorry about any interruptions that we had today. I hope we were still able to bring to you a little bit of knowledge. And I thank anyone who is messaging me through the website. I am getting them, I am reading them, and I am responding to you. If you message me, I will message you back. And thank you for the nice lady who sent me $10 on PayPal. Congratulations, you're the first one. All of that is it's confirmation for me that I am where God wants me to be. And you motivate me, all you crazy people who want to be a fan of mine. And I thank you very much for any type of support that you give me. Truly, I am eternally grateful. And you know how we sign this off. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am Doug Thornton. You can listen to America's Faith. Yeah.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test.